I'd like to refer to two scriptures. Firstly, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 16, "And he spoke a parable to them, saying, The land of a certain rich man brought forth abundantly. And he reasoned within himself, saying, What shall I do? For I have not a place where I shall lay up my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will take away my granaries and build greater. And there I will lay up all my produce and my good things. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good things laid by for many years. Repose thyself, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared? Thus is he who lays up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." And then in chapter 7, again the Lord Jesus is speaking, and partway through verse 27 he says, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among them that are born of women, a greater prophet is no one than John the Baptist. But he who is a little one in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people who heard it and the tax gatherers justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rendered null as to themselves the counsel of God, not having been baptized by him." I was reading recently that what people are finding most frustrating about lockdown is their inability to make plans. I wonder how you're finding lockdown. I know some people are enjoying lockdown. They're enjoying perhaps the peace and the quiet, the slower pace of life that the restrictions on us bring. But there are many who are worried and anxious about the coronavirus. There are those that sorrow because they've lost loved ones because of coronavirus. But many are feeling frustrated by the restrictions that are upon us. And I wonder how you feel about lockdown. Has it messed up your life? Maybe just a little bit, maybe a lot. What plans did you have? Perhaps you were planning a day out and the restrictions stopped you going out. Perhaps it was a birthday celebration or a holiday. Perhaps it was your exams at school. Perhaps it was plans about university. Maybe even a wedding. Think of all the plans and preparations that go into a wedding and then you find you can't get married because of lockdown. There are those that have needed medical treatment, those that have needed operations and they haven't been able to have them. Their plans have been cancelled because of the current situation. Well, that's typical of our plans. We make plans and often we're unable to fulfil the plans that we make, but I don't really want to speak about our plans tonight. In preaching the gospel, I'd like to tell you that God has a plan of blessing for each one of us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have eternal life. The Bible also describes God as a saviour God who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I wonder if you've ever realised that God has a desire, a plan to bless men. Perhaps you've never really thought about God. Well, the Bible has stories about people who didn't really think about God, just as it has accounts of those that thought about God and honoured God in their lives. And so in Luke 12, where I started reading, there was a man Outwardly, he was very successful. Outwardly, God was blessing him. But what we find from the parable that Jesus tells about him is that he left God out of his plans. That was the problem. There's nothing wrong with making plans. It's quite right to make plans. The Bible speaks about plans. It uses three words, I suppose. It speaks about plans. It speaks about counsels. And there's good counsel, there's wise counsel, and there's foolish counsel. And then the other word it uses is plots. And I suppose the word plot always has an undertone of something that's covert or underhand. Well, those are perhaps all things that we do in our lives. But in this scripture, in Luke, the Lord is speaking about a man who leaves God out of his thoughts. He's been blessed, but as it says, he reasoned within himself. He made his own plans. He didn't include God in his thoughts. And you might say, well, does that matter? Why is it necessary to include God in my thoughts and in my plans? Well, the Bible tells me that we're all going to have to give an account to God. Give an account of ourselves, of our deeds, of our actions. The Bible says that all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes with whom we have to do. It says it's the portion of men once to die and after this judgment. James, when he writes his letter, he tells those he's writing to that there are those who make plans. And he speaks in a severe way about the plans that they make. He says, go to now, ye who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow will we go into such a city and spend a year there and traffic and make gain, ye who do not know what will be on the morrow. For it is your life, it is even a vapour, appearing for a little while and then disappearing. Instead of your saying, if the Lord should so will and we should live, we will do this or that. How true it is. The current situation has made us realise how transient life can be. A vapour appearing for a little while. People that were fit and healthy struck down, as it were, almost overnight, and how quickly they've passed from time to eternity. We have to give an account to God. And there was this man. God had blessed him. Perhaps you feel God has blessed you in the practical things of life. But have you considered for God? The Lord finishes this parable, doesn't he, by saying, thus is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I wonder if you feel that you're being rich toward God in the way that you're living your life. The Lord asks that question, doesn't he? Whose shall be what thou hast prepared? As we live our lives, we're preparing something. Well, whose is it going to be? Who's it for? Are we rich towards God, or are we laying up treasure for ourselves? So this man, he had plenty of things, and we live in a materialistic world, a world where often we're judged by the things that we have, and the more things that we have and the bigger and better things that we have, the more successful we're seen to be. You know, someone has characterised the way of the world that we live in this way, that we buy things that we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people that we don't like. How futile life can be if we leave God out of our thoughts and out of our plans. But God has plans of blessing for us. God said to this man, though, didn't he? Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. How would you feel if God said that to you tonight? The Bible uses the word fool to speak of people who leave God out of their lives. The psalmist says, doesn't he? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No God for me. We're perhaps living in a world that teaches that there is no God, that we came about because of evolution. The Bible is quite clear. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God will reckon with you. How do you feel about that? Would you rather face God as a saviour God? Or will you put it off and perhaps face him as a judge? You know, in Luke 8, Luke speaks of a man. His life was a mess. There was no structure, no purpose in his life. He had no hope, no plans, nothing for the future. He was a demon-possessed man. His name was Legion. The Lord Jesus came to him. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord cast the demon out of his life. Think of the life the man had led before. He was crying and cutting himself with stones, living in the tombs. How close to death he was. The Lord came in to give him life. The Lord came in to give him a new life, a different kind of life, to give him a hope, to give him peace. It says that when the men of the city found him, he was sitting and clothed and sensible. What a transformation in his life. You know, Jesus is transforming lives, and he can transform your life tonight. He transformed the life of Legion. Legion had been bound with chains and fetters. That's the way things are in this world. We have rules and regulations to try and keep us under control. Think about lockdown. Think of the restrictions that they've put in place. Perhaps they work for a little while, but then people get restless, don't they? There are those that perhaps stick to the rules, but there are those that quite flagrantly break them. And there are those that are getting restless because of the restraints, the chains and fetters. You know, chains and fetters don't change someone. That's the way of this world. It doesn't change people. It just tries to push them in a certain direction. Think of the Lord Jesus. He didn't need chains and fetters to change the life of Legion. He could speak to him about the fact that he was the Son of God and that he could bring deliverance. And he delivered him and he blessed him and he had a plan for him, didn't he? What did he say to Legion? It said that Legion wanted to besought him that he might be with him. But he sent him away saying, return to thine house and relate how great things God has done for thee. And he went away through the whole city, publishing how great things Jesus had done for him. I love that. That's a wonderful outcome, a wonderful result. Legion was obedient to the Lord Jesus. He'd been blessed and he could go as Jesus purposed for him to tell others about the blessing he'd received. Luke also wrote about another man. He was quite different from Legion. He had plenty of plans. He knew exactly what he wanted to do and where he wanted to go. He knew exactly what he intended to do. But God had other plans for him. He was a religious man, but he was persecuting Christians. And he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, and God met him on the way. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of God meeting you, not perhaps in the way that he met Paul. I've never had that experience. But have you had the sense of God intervening in your life? You know, God can speak to us through our circumstances. He can speak to us through our work or through our health or through our relationships. Perhaps he can speak to us through things that happen to other people. God intervenes in our lives. Perhaps you have a feeling that God's intervening in your life. I remember I had a Christian friend who was a solicitor, a barrister. He used to represent those that had been accused of crimes. And I remember him speaking about meeting someone in a prison and speaking to them. He took the opportunity to speak to them about the Lord Jesus. And the man responded and said, yes, he said, when I was a child, my mother would speak to me about the Lord Jesus, and I never had time. He said, now I'm in my prison cell, I've got time to think about these things. Well, perhaps God is giving you tonight time to think about these things. Think of Paul, he was Saul, as he was travelling. That great light shone about him. Jesus spoke to him. When he recounts it, he says, doesn't he, that I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Perhaps you think that God speaks English. Well, Paul says here that he heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue. But quite seriously, the reality is that God or the Lord Jesus will speak to you in a way that you can understand. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, Jesus can speak to you in a way that you understand. When the Lord Jesus was here, he spoke to the crowds, didn't he? And they said, never man spoke as this man speaks, for he speaks with authority. He spoke with authority and not as the scribes. Well, many people are speaking today, but the Lord Jesus speaks in a way that we can understand. And he tells us a way of peace, a way of grace. He told Paul, didn't he, that the plans that Paul had were plans that would lead to disaster. He had something different for Paul to do. He says to him that he's going to send him, taking thee out from among the people and the nations to whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel. How do we enter into God's purposes and plans of blessing for us? It's through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith means accepting that what he has done in his life and his death and his resurrection is not just a story in the Bible. It's not just something that's for other people, but it's for me. That because he is alive, I too can live. Because he has suffered on Calvary's cross, because he has shed his precious blood, my sins can be forgiven. My sins can be washed away for remission of sins. Do your sins trouble you? Perhaps you've never thought about your sins until tonight. Well, your sins are a heavy burden. They give you an uncomfortable conscience. They're perhaps a worry to you. You try and occupy yourself during the day, but perhaps at night, in the quiet of the night, your sins come to your mind and they're a worry to you because you know that your sins are a barrier between you and a holy and righteous God. The gospel is the wonderful good news that we can do, although we can do nothing about our sins, God has come in from his side. He has sent the Lord Jesus into the world to save sinners. If we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God because we can know that our sins have been forgiven. They've been put away. How precious that is. What a transformation, that they may turn from darkness to light from the power of Satan to God, darkness to light. Are you walking in darkness? Does it seem that your life is purposeless? Does it seem that you can't see the way ahead? You've got no certainty, no outlook? The Lord Jesus would have you to turn from darkness to light, to his wonderful light. He was the light that came into this world. He came to open the eyes of the blind. He'd have you come into the light tonight. Come into blessing. Come into the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven. And so I read that scripture, didn't I, in Luke 7. It says in verse 29, "And all the people who had heard it, and the tax gatherers justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rendered null as to themselves the counsel of God, not having been baptized by him." They rendered null the counsel of God. Think of that. God had a plan for them, and they made it of no account. Null, made it zero. It didn't mean anything to them. The crowds had been baptized with the baptism of John. John came preaching repentance, and those that were baptized were those that recognized that they needed to repent. They needed to repent about their sins. They needed to recognize that God was right and they were wrong. That's what repentance means. It means recognizing God's assessment, God's judgment of my sins, recognizing that I'm wrong and he's right, and turning my back on the things that I've been associated with, turning from darkness to light. But there were those that were baptized. Who were they? The tax gatherers and the people. They justified God. They recognized that God was righteous and he had a way of blessing for them. They recognized that they needed to come in repentance. But there were those too, the Pharisees and the lawyers. They felt they were already righteous. They were self-righteous. They didn't feel they needed the righteousness of God. They wouldn't come in repentance. What does the Bible say? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way in which we can come into God's plan of blessing for us. But it's a warning to us tonight as we think about it. There were those who felt they were too good. They didn't need a saviour. The Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Pharisees and the lawyers rendered null as to themselves the counsel of God, not having been baptized by him. They wouldn't come in repentance, and they didn't come into blessing. Well, the gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. God desires to bless you tonight. If you'll come in simple faith, if you'll come in repentance, it says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. May there be joy in heaven tonight, and may there be joy in your heart. If you've never opened your heart to the Lord Jesus, let him come into your heart tonight. Let him be the master of your heart, the master of your life. He'll give you, he'll bless you, he'll give you peace. He'll give you a plan. He'll tell you what he wants you to do for him. And it's something that's a blessing. You know, if we make our own plans, they'll lead to disaster. If we accept what the Lord Jesus has purposed for us, purposes of blessing, if we turn to him in simple faith, he'll bless us. Well, may you come and be blessed by the Saviour tonight, for his name's sake.